What's going on, Packers fans? Aaron Nagler here with Billy Schmid. It's Carry the G Radio, the podcast. Billy, how are you? It's been like a week, a little more. I have departed from the Green Bay area. I know you're holding it down there over in Wisconsin. How's life?
Trying to. Yeah. Well, it's not nearly as good here in Wisconsin when Aaron Nagler's not here. But you know what? We're powering through. We're getting through the rain, sleet, and snow to get to the Mile Get High City. And more importantly, I'm just jealous of that beautiful Cheesehead TV Brazil shirt that you got rocking here.
Come on now.
Have we a couple of short weeks away.
How crazy is that? How crazy is it? We are marching toward week one against the Philadelphia Eagles. And as you mentioned, toward a joint practice showdown with the Denver Broncos and then a preseason game on Sunday evening. But before we get to all that, I did want to kind of back up and look at some of the stuff coming out of the preseason matchup with the Browns and where you think certain battles are at heading into these important dates in Denver. Now, we know that not one practice and not one preseason game is going to determine this stuff. So that's a blanket caveat before we get going here. But I am fascinated after this week of practice in Green Bay, which saw Michael Pratt taking snaps with the twos. Finally, I think that's a bit overdue in my estimation, but sure feels like he's acquitting himself well, and it's not too big for him. Sean Clifford getting the start in Denver. Jordan Love won't play. What is your take on the backup quarterback battle heading into the second preseason game? Because it does feel like it's starting to heat up.
Yeah, it feels like it's starting to be a little bit more of a real battle, right? Like when you mention it, that it took this long for him to get number one reps, maybe it speaks to a little bit of lack of full familiarity with the playbook that he had, or, you know, where they came in, right? As a clear 1, 2, and 3 in the pecking order, and then to earn it there. I'll tell you this, it's definitely not the Bo Nix starting in the 3 or 4 hole quarterback spot there in Denver, right? I think he may have been actually a bit sizably behind. So that part of it might not be too strange, but you could see a little bit more confidence with Michael Pratt in just about everything he seemingly was doing at practice for a couple of days. So that I'm excited to see how it translates on Sunday. Yes. And maybe there is something to it, Nags, of once you are able to take a snap in a game, you do just feel a little bit more confident of, okay.
You own it a little bit more, right? Here. It's not too big, not too different. It's still just football, essentially.
Even though,
right?
I mean, he was handing the ball off quite a bit, right? I mean, like
at the end there, especially. I will say, though, he pushed a couple downfield off that right side, a couple deep in cuts. I was like, okay, young man, let it rip. Like,
They showcased a little bit of his arm strength, and they let that speak for itself a little
bit. Push it there a little bit. I'm fascinated to see how this plays out over this weekend, because I do think the joint practice coupled with the preseason game against looks you're not familiar with. I mean, this is the work you've been doing up until this point. You've got one preseason matchup with the Browns on tape, right? Now you're going to have a full practice and another preseason game against looks you're not used to, things that you haven't been kind of studying basically all offseason, right? These are lots of variables being thrown at you. I mean, look, you don't have to look much further than I think Clifford now has thrown 10 interceptions on the summer. Clearly, he's a bit of a gamer. I think we can safely kind of label him as such at this point. Because I thought, and I don't know about you, Billy, but I thought he looked exponentially better in that Browns game than he has
way
looked
better
at any practice that I've been at.
Totally.
And that was kind of the case last summer as well. So that makes it difficult if you're sitting here trying to handicap it from the outside, because I'm like, I got to suspect the coaching staff is probably understanding what Clifford is, and they're probably, I would suspect, erring on the side of, we want a guy who we know second year in the system, knows it like the back of his hand, and we know he's going to deliver when the lights come on if necessary. Like, if we have to throw him out there, and for whatever reason, God forbid, he has to finish a game because Jordan gets hurt, you know you don't have to completely change your playbook. Now, obviously, you're going to button it up a little bit because it's not Jordan Love,
but
at least he can get you through a game. Whereas with Michael Pratt, as good as he's looked his last couple of week or so, that's still got to think he's probably swimming a little bit.
It would also feel like much more of a wild card and a less known commodity if you put him into a game scenario, right? And I like the fact that you put it at finish a football game, right? Like, even though last year there was almost every single team had a backup quarterback have to start a game at some particular point in time. So that part of it's interesting of And we talked about this on the postgame show, because I wonder if there's a little bit more of a gentleman's agreement between teams of, yeah, you're three guys. Yeah, you're three guys. We got your three guys. We all understand nobody's keeping three on their full 53.
Right.
So you keep your practice squad guy. You keep your practice squad guy. I'll keep mine. Right. And no one's going to hand, you know, pick around and grab them. But that would then eliminate any thought of trying to curtail the visuals
what
of
you're
a guy
showing.
Who's right. really, really good. See what exactly. you're showing. I wonder if there's, and we've seen this at the end of cutdown day the last couple of years. Teams covet their players more
than anybody on the outside. Yes, 1,000%.
Always do. Yep. So I wonder if there's a little bit of, we kind of just know that he'll be on the practice squad, and that's right. where there's not as much of a real competition to it because of what you just mentioned. If they know what they would get in a finish the game scenario, then we're much more comfortable with Sean being the number two. Right. And then if we know that Jordan's out for 3 weeks with a hamstring, well, then it'll be maybe a little bit different story because we can prepare differently knowing
you're going to be not available. And this is the guy we got to go with. Yeah.
Now we'll bring up Michael, and then it will be more of a real competition for, hey, if he doesn't play well in three quarters or a full game, it might be your opportunity. Yeah,
time
next
to
week.
Make the switch.
We saw that with teams being much more aggressive going to number three than obviously going from one to two. Two to three, that's a very fine pull. We'll try that. We'll see if we can grab lightning in a bottle.
Well, especially if you're not going anywhere doing anything on offense. You know, we saw that with the Vikings last year. Like you said, there's been a number of teams last season that had to go two, three deep at their quarterback bench because of injury, you know, and that's just life in the league now. That's what's somewhat scary. And, but also, kind of the norm now. You got to expect it's going to happen at some point. You know, the days of being able to know Brett Favre is going to be out there forever, like, those are long gone.
Yeah. And think
you got to be prepared for it.
Who those true iron guys were, iron men were, right? It's the Manning brothers for a long time,
long time, right?
Brett and Tom had the 1 year where he's down. Ben Roethlisberger seemingly had four braces on every single piece of his body
at all times.
Like, yes. Right. I mean, the thought that even if you have one of those guys, one of the top dudes in the league, they're going to get dinged up. They're going to get nicked. I mean, Chad Henne had to go and finish and win a playoff game.
Unbelievable.
For Kansas City in route to a Super Bowl. So,
yep.
And nobody was saying Chad Henne was as good as he was in Miami in the early aughts, and that wasn't all that good when he went and finished the game and beat Baker Mayfield.
Well, it helps you have Andy Reid drawing up the plays and keeping him in good spots, and that's part But that's also why I think the Packers are probably okay with the idea of, okay, if we have to get through an extended time with Sean and Michael. And look, this is big time if stuff. Obviously, you're planning Jordan Love's going to be your starter 17 games, etc. But if you do have to get there, like, Matt's shown an ability to draw up a game plan and put you in good offensive positions and knows how to scheme it up. You know, like, obviously you don't just beat a defense with a scheme point blank, but as far as being able to, you know, limit what you're asking a guy to do but still be effective on offense, I think LaFleur could get them through any kind of stretch like that.
Mm-hmm. And it would be interesting. Yeah, I don't like it. I'm not even going to say what I was going to say. Like, it would be interesting to see him in that position.
No, I don't want to see him in that position. Nope.
But yeah,
no,
if sir. Indeed it was,
no, sir.
There would be confidence going forward with it. Yeah.
Let's take a step forward from the quarterback spot and look at the offensive line, where we saw Jordan Morgan return to practice in an individual kind of way yesterday. Still just doing individual, not any team stuff. Got to think, I'll be very surprised if he's in any kind of team situation in Denver for the practice or the game. So that gives you Sean Ryan, and that gives you, if you are Sean Ryan, a monster opportunity here. And I know he's been running with the twos at center, and he's been running with the ones at guard, and he's been doing a lot, right? But that's kind of the job.
Yeah.
Especially if you are battling for a starting spot, he's got a humongous opportunity here. If he can put on, you know, some really good stuff, consistently good stuff on tape between the practice and the game, he could legit start to solidify his, like, despite the fact it's pretty clear the Packers wanted Jordan Morgan to win this gig.
Mm-hmm.
You can't make the club in the tub. And if Ryan's plays well, you know, in these this next stretch, he could win the gig. He could win that right guard job. And I think it feels like, at least online, narrative wise, the conversations I've seen, lots of people are penciling him in as the, oh, he's the swing interior guy and he's going to be our backup center. It's like, wait a second. He still has a chance here to win the starting right guard job.
Yes. I also think the interesting part is he could go from like 5 to 7.
Yes. Right. 100%.
Totally right. Like agree. I think Jacob Monk could pass him up as the first interior guy in if he doesn't take advantage of the opportunity. Yeah. That's very, very fascinating storyline to watch into how he plays, because what did we see again in Cleveland? Good in the run game, right? Mm-hmm. It's a lot easier to see when you're running out and lead blocking for Emmanuel Wilson inside the red zone.
Right.
But did you see him get markably better in the pass game? Maybe have a couple of nice reps.
A couple reps, yeah.
A couple of nice plays, but a couple of plays that I think were similar stuff to what they saw. So I think that is a really unique position that he's in, because they want Dylan Morgan to be the starter.
Yeah. I think that's pretty clear, right?
It's clear and obvious to all of us watching. And I don't believe that it's like a hand-picked, like just only a hand-picked thing. I think Jordan Morgan's looked good over at right guard. I think he's going to be very functional.
He was on a good path before he got
there. And you could see his ceiling being higher. That being said, you do need to see him in more of in real settings against opponents before you start in week one. I don't think that's John's said it a couple of different times, and the more and more you see it, I understand why they would want to be able to see that in the position that he'd be placed in. That being said, it could be much like Rashid Walker, though, and all of a sudden, whoa, he is now our starter after week two. So how confident and ready you think somebody is, you only end up finding out when you're kind of forged by fire a lot of times that way.
I was just going to say, that reminds me of Corey Linsley, his rookie year. Getting in there that week one where he wasn't the starter at the beginning of the week, and then like by Tuesday he was the starter because there was an injury and he was starting on the road in Seattle his rookie year. Like, good luck, kid.
Yeah,
that's part of the gig. And I'm glad you brought up Jacob Monk, because it's an unusual kind of track I took this week, Billy. I actually made kind of a rundown here. I have some notes that I've been going through, and I've been looking at a bit, topics I wanted to talk about. I know, it's very professional. I'm trying to get ready for the regular season.
And some random guy just walks right by me.
He's just saying hi. He's just saying hello. So I wanted to make, some notes, things I definitely wanted to talk about. And Jacob Monk was literally the next on the list.
Let's go.
Just saying, my only note was, we see you, Jacob Monk.
Mm-hmm. What's up?
We see you.
So,
like, I think he started slow this summer. I don't think that's telling tales out of school. Mm-hmm. I think he was swimming a little bit. But I'm telling you, that preseason game, okay, Jacob Monk, that's what we thought we were getting.
Yeah,
you also got made.
Yep, and gamer. That also was the same deal.
Sir. Like,
there's a different physicality playing in a game where you're going to and have to and can finish people into the ground, right? Like,
into
that was
the ground.
That was a different part of it. So the physicality was churned up, not even just turned up. I mean, fully churned up as he was ready to go. Dude, that was really, really fun to see, because I've been a fan of watching him at Duke.
Yeah.
Throughout all of last year, and then once into the draft process, you see even more of it. Because they were good enough, Nags, where they would be on like that Thursday night game.
Yes.
Like the Thursday night ACC.
Dude, I watched more Duke football last year than I have in my entire life. Are you kidding me?
And they were fun to bet on, because their quarterback, Riley Leonard, was good, and now he's at Notre Dame. So you can start thinking and piecing those things together.
Notre Dame, it's obvious, but
Monk was good to be able to witness from the physicality that he would play with. Like, they played an early game on, I want to say again, Thursday night or something. Mm-hmm. And there were two plays at the goal line where he just bodied a nose tackle. And you're like, you could see that happening very much into the pro game. Didn't see it in the first couple
early
of
in camp at all.
Practice.
No. At all.
I mean,
literally, Jonathan Ford was toasting him in one.
Yeah. Office. Yeah. And I thought that
no
was
shade to Jonathan Ford, but that's not what you want to see.
No, it's especially where Ford is on the depth chart. I thought that was fascinating from Steno to point that part of it out. Like, absolute gamer. We see what's going on. Mm-hmm. He is somebody that they will be okay if he ends up playing, and very well could end up playing here in 24.
He very well could. I mean, God knows, that's the life of an NFL kind of backup, right? You got to be ready.
Yeah.
And you know injuries are going to hit. It's just a question of when. You got to be ready for whatever position they're going to send you in there for. I will say, I love that you brought up him like driving people into the ground, which of course we love, and you see it and you get all jacked up and it's like, yeah, dominate that mother. Like, yeah, I love mm-hmm. it. But I will say there was one clip that people kept sharing online that I thought was really funny, because like it was a Wilson run to the right. And I think, I'm not sure if it's a zone run, but he sure looks like he's blocking like angle or power. And he takes his defensive tackle and just throws him on the ground. But while doing so, he throws him literally right into the path that Wilson's trying to take.
Into the tackle. Yeah.
And I'm like, my guy, I love you. I love
brother
you.
In Christ. What are we
but
doing?
Let's just move the man. We don't need to throw him mm-hmm. into the path of, you know, the apparently where the running back's trying to go. Like, that's I get it. You're pumped up. You want to dominate. But, you know, let's lean on technique a little bit and just move him out of the way.
Now, luckily, in said clip didn't hit him with the syrup for the pancake. Yep. Right. Would have been a bad moment to do so. But yeah, that is the worst feeling. Actually, not the worst feeling. The worst feeling is when you think like, oh, I'm just going to send this guy around the back end, throw him at tackle into quarterback's legs.
Oh, or worse, oh, Jesus.
Your Ouch. Other tackle's legs, because he's blocking the guy.
Then he goes down
the way you're supposed to. Right. Like you just mentioned, why don't we just stay in front, hold him up instead of just
lean on our technique. Yeah, exactly.
But,
you know, again, I see it and I'm like, come on, you know, dominate. Like, I love it. I can't pretend.
Yeah, I can't pretend like I don't. Part of it, right? Like, and that was what they clearly liked about Sean Ryan. And that's where I don't know if Monk can go right from like 6 to 8, right? Like, I don't know that he, or 5 to 8. I don't know.
5 to 8 is
go and win it.
Yeah.
But if indeed, you know, hey. Opportunities have arisen from
all about the opportunity. Absolutely. And speaking of opportunities, there is a battle going on in the defensive backfield between these rookie safeties. And mm-hmm. I would include Anthony Johnson Jr. here, but it seems pretty apparent, as well as I think he's played over the course of the camp and the summer and what have you. It is very clear. This is Evan Williams versus Javon Bullard, as far as who's going to be on the field more. And look, Bullard's been with the ones almost the entirety of the last 2 weeks, right? Like, he's been the guy opposite McKinney when they were all at the ones for the most part. But man, it's hard to deny Evan Williams. Hard to deny what you saw out of him in that preseason game. Hard to deny what you've seen day in and day out at camp and practice. I mean, good problem to have, right? But I don't know how they get all these guys on the field. You're talking, you got Keyshawn Nixon tweeting out, I'm the nickel. Okay, well, if he's locked in at the nickel, how are these other guys getting on the field? Because they need to be.
Yeah, and you are now. Like, I mean, at some particular point, that seems like it would be a very good Evan Williams job.
Yes,
I completely right?
like, agree.
Just feels like it would be more. A good position potentially be in. So I'm fascinated, too, as to how that changes. You're right about Johnson Jr. It seems like he's McKinney's backup at this particular point. Like, he might be.
I hadn't thought of it that way, but that's not a bad take. I don't know.
Right, like, and not necessarily like as a bad thing of just being a backup, but like it just seems like that's a clear role where they can say, all right, sorry, bub, we don't know that that's going to play a whole lot since my man didn't miss a snap in 2023, but regression towards the mean, maybe he misses more snaps. So there's something to that of having somebody locked in at that spot. It just seems like that's kind of where they're headed with it.
Yeah. That's a good take.
Evan Williams is just all over the ball.
I mean, my goodness. Are you talking about just an instinctual player? That's it.
Yes.
His instincts at the position, and I've tweeted about it 100 times. I've talked about it. Tyler's clipped, I think, 3 times, me just jonesing over freaking Evan Williams. But I'm telling you, man, he is the real deal. The more I watch him, the more impressed I am. Like, he is absolutely legit as far as stepping onto a football field and nothing being too big for him. As a rookie, it's impressive, man. It's so impressive to watch.
Well, and two, the interesting thing about Williams, I've just, again, you try to craft these takes, Nags.
Right, as one does.
The transfer for Williams going from Florida, Fresno State, to Oregon.
Right.
Think about just the step up and the excitement of taking the step up from, I believe, Mountain West to. To Pac-12, right?
Pac-12. That's a bit of a step up in level of competition, you would think,
especially when you're talking about being one of the premier programs in the country.
Absolutely.
And Dan Lanning, similar, he was at Georgia at one point, so he would have been the guy, I believe, that would have recruited Javon Bullard to Georgia before going and taking the head job at Oregon. I could be crossed up on my years, but I believe there's some similarity in there. So you know that there's similar kind of prospects. Again, maybe makes sense more why Goody eyes up both of them. Mm-hmm. But I think that's a fascinating part of how these players are coming out of the draft and ready to go into these camps. Evan Williams did a very, very similar thing a year ago, moved away from a comfort zone, took a step up in competition.
Good point.
And then was ready to rise to the occasion and start right away. So if you do that again at the next level, the jump is still remarkably sizable, but you've just proved to yourself that I can do it in a short time period and something's going to work out in front of me. Like I think that's an interesting part of how his story seems to go similar from Oregon to Green Bay of proving that I can make the step up in year one, take the leap, prove it to myself, and then just go play ball, because that's when you can allow your instincts to take over. And that's the exact word to describe the way I think that we've all seen him play. Just very, very instinctual.
No question about it. And that's what we heard all offseason, right, from both LaFleur and Halfley regarding the defensive shift, the new scheme, and what they wanted out of these, you know, all of these guys on the defensive side of the ball, but especially the secondary. You know, we want you to stop thinking and just play fast.
And go.
You know, well, damn, if that has not been the case. Like, I got to think, yes, eventually. And it sounds like there was one in practice yesterday or 2 days ago where there was a miscommunication between Bullard and McKinney, and there was a kind of a sizable shot down the seam to Reed for a big gain. But outside, like from most of the stuff I've seen, and certainly in that preseason game, I mean, they're flying around. They are not thinking. They are reacting. They're trusting their homework. That's what we always talked about, Corey and I, back at school. It's like you do the work in the lab. You do the work at practice, right? And then game day, you just go. You just play, you know, because you trust that all of that is in your body. It's in your mind. It's just all there inherently. And if you're not kind of catching yourself thinking about it, you're just reacting. And I'm telling you, again, that's what it looks like Evan Williams is doing down in and down out.
Yeah, it's a dangerous spot to get into for an offense when you're going up against a secondary that's feeling that, especially when they have a couple of Pro Bowl players like now the Packers do in the back end. The Jair piece for how the safeties end up producing this year will be interesting to how the field kind of funnels towards, because you want to talk about playing fast and confident. Jair's been doing that so far in any team setting that he's been in. So that could be, I mean, I know it sounds dumb. The talk show podcast host says best player on defense is the missing link.
Is the big key to the defense.
Film at 11, Tyler, and see how much engagement you get on that. Jair Alexander's important to the Packers. No shit.
But I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you said what you said a little bit ago in regarding Jair's play in a team setting. Because if there is, can I just bitch for a second here?
I'm ready.
Just for
it.
A second.
Come on now.
If I see one more moron take a complete out of context one-on-one clip that these people are shooting in the stands at Reinicke Field, right, where Jair gets beat. Because it's going to happen. It's one-on-ones, you know, and they're like, oh, look, Jair got cooked. It's like, you mean in something that doesn't resemble actual football in any way, shape, or form, where there's no sideline, there's no help, there's no nothing. He's not even, like, really able to jam a guy. Like, this is what you're kind of, like, trying to feature and trying to denigrate him with. Yeah. Like, can we be serious here for 5 seconds? Like, talk to me about his play on the field in the game situations, not about one-on-ones. That's not football. Please. Well, that stuff just drives me insane.
Yeah, it's also like saying, oh man, this left tackle stinks on ice. Look at him just get absolutely cooked on this one-on-one. Right. Oh, sweet. Okay, where the guy's got a two-way go. There's nobody to my inside that will help. Nope. And oh, by the way, this guy doesn't move. Sure. Yeah. Awesome. Great. Let's do it.
Thanks for that insight there, Coach.
Yeah.
I'm really happy about it. I just had to get that off my chest. It's been bugging the shit out of me.
I bet you feel a whole lot better after that.
I do. Really do.
Because it's one of the most frustrating parts of it when the attention is going to be on Jair, as it should be. Again,
100%, of course. And he wants that. He welcomes it.
That's the goal of, you know, right? There's some celebrations and stuff like that. The seatbelt is also massive, massive celebration. We got high school kids doing it every day in practice. I'm like, bro, the ball landed 5 yards away from
you. I don't think you got to. I mean, look, but the pros are no different. Yeah. Stokes does it too. I mean, they all do.
Let's do it. Yeah.
Keyshawn Nixon out there, like, putting Strap City, and like, it's just because the quarterback threw a bad ball. Like,
that. Yeah, that was a throwaway. I don't know what we're talking about, but okay. Yeah, for sure. Let's lock them in.
Oh, I love it. I love it. You know who else had a really good game? And I got to admit, I had not watched a ton of prior to that game. I've seen him intermittently through training camp, but it wasn't like he was on my radar in a monster way. Joel Wilson, tight end, deep reserve tight end, comes to play, makes a bit of a statement. I think he's pushing one Mr. Ben Sims now. It sure feels like it. Like, I think Sims has had a good camp.
Yeah, I thought
so too. But it's hard to deny what Joel Wilson put on tape against the Browns.
I don't know if I should admit this, Nags.
Oh no,
I barely knew he was on the team, right? Like, I mean, like all this and
it's a deep reserve. That's why I say it's
deep reserve. Like you said,
like I was watching him a ton with the twos and threes. Like
no, and again, doing. when I'm watching individual drills, I'm watching the offensive lineman. I'm watching the show. Who's watching these quarterbacks throw passes? The wide receivers and tight ends.
You know who is? Lots of people at Nitschke Field who have cameras and then upload it to the internet. Because wow, I can't escape it. But yes, true. I'm with you. I'm watching the big guys. I'm watching the big guy.
I'm watching the one. I'm watching the pass rush drills that the linebackers and stuff are doing. Yeah. Nerdy. I do think though, the fact of making plays in the preseason game. We talked about this with Emmanuel Wilson. Mm-hmm. That could be somebody who, like Ben Sims was for the Packers. If he's one of the final cuts, some team will be interested in. It would almost more to me feel like he would be a Tyler Davis role, right? Like maybe a little bit.
I would suspect so.
But who knows?
But who knows how they, yeah. I mean, it depends on, again, how deep they are to those spots. Maybe they can find a way to keep four or even five, although that would be kind of shocking to me. But I will say, I mean, that's what you have to do. And it's what we talk about all offseason, right? When we're getting ready for camp and we're waiting and it's that insanely long time while we're like, oh, what the hell is going to happen in training camp, et cetera. But that's what you dream of as a young player, is to make that kind of impression in a game setting that usually leads to more opportunities, especially in practice the following week and hopefully in this next preseason game. Because look, man, again, certainly looked more than serviceable. Looked like he really has the offense down. Certainly didn't look too big for him. Certainly looked like, you know, they trust him in a variety of different ways. So I know Ben Sims. I don't know, man. I'm not saying you got to pick it up, but you better be coming correct. Because I do think Tyler Davis is on this team regardless. Like,
well, he may not be an interesting one.
Because I don't think he's a world beater from scrimmage. I think he's serviceable, but they freaking love him on special teams. Like,
love
I
him
think
on special
he's a
teams.
Leader on special teams. He is a big time player for them on special teams. He runs with most of the first units on teams. Yeah. So I think he's on this team.
And the other part about Tyler Davis, and this is why I'm like kind of thinking about it. What if I told you the competition's maybe not in that tight end room, right? Like, because it looks like Tyler Davis is going to start filling a little bit of that blocking back, right? Maybe shifting in front of.
Now that we have no fullbacks. Yeah.
No fullbacks. Yeah. And some people were wondering if that would be a 28 instead of 82 that was going to be running that role. So, like, I just all of the mathematics for the guys and for who's going to make the 53 is going to come down to threat of getting picked up and potential to have the role somewhat expand.
Yeah.
I think
being able to use in a variety of different ways.
In a couple of different ways, right? So that's why I agree with you. Tyler Davis is going to be on the team.
He's going to make it.
I wonder if indeed. Yeah.
Unless he gets hurt. You know, that's the only way.
Something terrible happens to him again. But I do think Wilson would be in a advantageous spot as a tight end that seems like he can do a couple of different things, that he would be an interesting piece for somebody else to pick up. But Ben Sims also scored a touchdown last year in the NFL. So, again, you want to talk about a guy somebody would be interested in picking up?
Come on, Billy. I know what we're doing. Here we are. What is it? August. What is the date? 15th? 16th?
15th.
What is
it's payday.
It is the August 15th. That's what I know. And that means it is time for us to be concerned about guys getting picked up on the waiver wire. when we know they're not going to. 98% of these guys are going to get cut and be just back on the practice squad and ain't going to be nothing. I mean, I think I've said this on Daily a number of times. I just, the whole Taysom Hill thing scarred us for life as Packers fans. Like, that is a monster exception to the rule. A humongous exception.
We just
like
the cut of his jib, though, Aaron. There was just something about him that was that was good. I think there's a unique feel though to a tight end where people can say, "Oh yeah,
you're just trying to talk yourself into some drama." That's all you're
doing. Learn our spot.
That's all you're doing. Everybody's got guys like that. Literally, yeah, absolutely. There's a Joel Wilson in like 28 of the 32 NFL cities. Like,
well, 100%. And probably on the back end of a creator roster on Madden franchise.
Joel Wilson. Oh, by the way, speaking of which, downloaded College Football today.
Let's go.
I got the cross platform ready to go.
Come on now.
I am coming for you. I am coming for your title. I'm taking you down.
This needs to be streamed. Let's get this thing going.
That's what I'm.
And Madden got downloaded on the pre.
I got Madden as well. I'm ready to go. I already won my first Madden game earlier today. I'm ready to go. I am ready to go.
I'm 0-2, but I'm ready. I'm ready to play. I'm ready to win.
A couple. I want to cut real quick before we get way too off track as we are wont to do. I want to talk about a couple guys coming back from injury, or one coming back from injury, and another guy who, my God, he needs to get back from injury. First up, Carrington Valentine. I posed this on a short on our YouTube channel. I want to get your take. Does he have time? Does he have time to try and get back in the mix and win a job at cornerback 2 over Eric Stokes? Or has he missed too much time? Because I got to imagine he's back this week at practice, individual drill stuff, no team. I can't fathom the medical people allowing him to play team stuff in the joint practice, probably not even in the preseason game. So then you get back next week, you've got a practice. You've got a joint practice. You got a preseason game, which I suspect will be his three opportunities to make a case. Is that enough time, or has he missed too much time?
I think that's a difficult ask, right? I think that's a difficult ask, even though Eric Stokes hasn't put it together with the picks, right? Like, I think the coverage is good camp, enough. Though. He's had a good camp, right? He's been around the ball, and I think again, there's a part of this that he is a first round pick, right?
Undeniable physical upside.
Yeah, and passed on him giving him the fifth year offer, right? Yep. But I firmly believe it would be one of Goody's favorite extensions to hand out week 8 or 9 to Eric Stokes for a 3-year deal to be like, we don't want you to go to free agency. You're playing really, really well. You're going to be across from Jair. So I think he's got. He doesn't have enough time to win it yet.
Right.
But there will be a quicker hook than because he's played that spot, right?
I do think Stokes has benefited from the scheme switch too, as far as what he's being asked to do, the emphasis on, you know, just their coverage principles, the man match stuff, the ability to just run with guys rather than having to keep his eyes on the quarterback and blah blah blah. And like, there's just been it just has looked more fluid for him. Now, that doesn't mean he's been lights out. He's not a shutdown or anything like that. But it really seems to suit him better.
Couldn't agree with you more. I think him being able to just run with a player, and that doesn't mean just he can't play zone, but it's a lot easier. He's so much better in man that it's a good spot for him, and it's a good scheme for him to exemplify his skills, right? His skill is the insane speed that he would have if he needs to catch up and gets beat. So that definitely does play towards his abilities more.
And then the other guy I wanted to highlight, just because it's been frustrating waiting for him to get back out there, is Edgerrin Cooper. I mean, wow. I don't want to say it's a lost summer, but man, we are approaching lost summer territory, and that doesn't mean he can't contribute at some point this season.
Yeah.
But it sure is starting to feel like he's not going to contribute early. Because, I mean, I don't know how you miss this much time as a rookie and are able to just get inserted in there week one, even if he's out there, say, next week and able to get at least some work in the preseason game against the Ravens. Do you trust him enough as a staff to put him out there down in Brazil week one against the Eagles? I mean, like I said, it's really disappointing because I'm so excited by his skill set and I'm so excited about his ability in this defensive scheme, but we just haven't been able to see any of it.
Yeah, and well, and the other part of the excitement was you just penciled in that he was going to be a starter, right? And that he was going to bypass Isaiah McCutcheon.
I think the idea from the outside was probably like that, but I don't know that was the feeling inside the building. Doesn't seem like
it. Absolutely not. Yep, like I think inside the building, there was definitely a pecking order, and Isaiah was going to get every opportunity to show and build off what he had last year, and I think he has. But the Cooper thing is disappointing because, I mean, I was looking 33-1 for my man to win defensive player, rookie of the year, right? Like,
love how it all comes back to your bets. That's the crux of this show. Like,
glad
it
I didn't put it in, right? Because I'm with you. Like, I don't know how he contributes early within the first month or so. That's not on teams.
It's not gonna be hard.
It's gonna be hard for him to jump in there as well as jump over, you know, Eric Wilson, who's also played well. Now that's a glue dude, right? So if
he's a glue dude, but man, I love him in this defense. I think he's solid.
And I like the way he plays.
I do.
So
really
that's a definite spot where feels like 25 is going to be the time that you would really jump, unless there's stuff in front of him, injuries in front of him that open up a pathway. But I love my man standing behind after he comes out of the rehab group, Nags, walking through his steps in the start of team. Like,
yes, sir.
I still think the guy's got
a player. That's a player right there.
Everything that he can do to be on the field, just legs not cooperating or whatever that little deal is in there.
Yeah, the hip. What I mean, that's
hammy, groin. There's all so much stuff in there and
annoying. It's just annoying.
Yeah.
Well, Billy, I cannot thank you enough, as always, hanging out and talking some Packers with me. And like I said, man, we're gonna find a time where we can throw down some college football 25, so I can get my revenge for my one point loss.
Well, unless I just want to make sure that, you know, we'll figure it out. We'll pick a time and let's maybe, you know, when your girlfriend's not still there, so it doesn't look like you're playing too much.
No, that's good. It's a good thing. We want her to think I play all the time. Becomes the norm.
Yes.
When we move in together. Oh, yeah. Aaron's playing Madden or college football because that's just what he does. Like that, we have to make that become the norm. That is the goal here.
Well, then I'll see you later on tonight online.
All right, I'll hit you up. It'll be great. Billy, I can't thank you enough, brother. I'll talk to you next week.
See you, man.